Eve, a young user researcher on my team, was conducting her first field study. By her side was her mentor, Mia. Their goal was to better understand the extent of cyberbullying on our platform, so that we could come up with an approach to tackle the problem. Eve and Mia would be interviewing celebrities and other public figures commonly targeted by cyberbullies in the field, meaning outside of a lab setting, in their natural environments, on set, in the office, on the court, or even at home. The first few interviews went smoothly, but in the third session, when a participant began to describe some of the harassment he'd faced online, Eve broke a cardinal rule of research and interrupted. "And the people who write mean things about you, you just ignore them, right?" In qualitative research, like the study Eve and Mia were conducting, there is a saying. In the first session, you learn that not everyone is like you. In the second, you learn that not everyone is like your first participant. The rule is that only around the fifth conversation do you hear the full range of possible responses to questions and begin to see patterns in attitudinal attributes like needs, motivations, and feelings. This is why most qualitative studies involve talking to at least five participants. Eve was repeating a sentiment she had heard participants say in her earlier interviews, that the proper response to abusive comments is to simply ignore them. But this participant had yet to share how he handled trolls on the platform. In addition to interrupting, Eve was basing her response on what she had heard before, rather than what was right in front of her. "Oh, actually, it kind of stings," the participant answered. "Online bullies can be hard to ignore, though it would be a lot healthier for me if I could." Only half listening, Eve glossed over her participant's response. "Right, so you would ignore them. Makes sense," she said, before moving on to the next part of the interview. Noticing that the participant's response and his underlying emotions had gone unheard, her mentor, Mia, intervened. "Let's take a few steps back for a minute," she said. "What is it like to experience harassment online?" Tentatively at first, and then with vigor, the participant began to share his story. "People think that because I'm in the spotlight, I must not care what other people think. Like, I don't have feelings," he said. "But of course it hurts when someone says something mean about me, and especially when they attack my followers. I feel it's my responsibility to protect them, even if it hurts me." The idea that trolling affects not just the individual, but also their community, was an insight we hadn't heard before, but that would become a crucial recurring theme. If Mia hadn't noticed that the participant's perspective was being ignored and stopped the conversation to get it right, then his important insight would have gone unsaid. Our product strategy and our participants' experiences on the platform would have suffered as a result. We've all had conversations in which we felt unheard. And we've all also had conversations in which we, like Eve, were the ones to miss our partner's cues and failed to truly understand them. Ineffective listening is common and happens every day. We often stop listening because we think we know what the other person is going to say. She is so easy to read. Because we have an informed opinion about how they will respond. He always leads by playing devil's advocate. Or because we have an idea of how we think they should respond. It's obvious the correct answer is yes. Sometimes we even assume our own experience is the same as others and expect others will respond like we would. "There's no way I would take that project on given what happened the last time, and she won't either." But when we stop paying attention to our conversation partner and let our own thoughts and opinions run the show, we miss learning what our conversation partner really has to say. And perhaps more importantly, we lose out on forming or strengthening a connection with that person, which can damage our relationship. This explains why some teams never seem to gel, no matter how many team-building activities they try, why some siblings struggle to grow close despite their blood ties, and why even lifelong neighbors can still find themselves with little to say to one another years later. If we can't hear what others mean or how they truly feel, it will be impossible to get to know them, much less feel close to them, despite our best intentions, or even the benefits of proximity. In order to become the listeners we aspire to be, we'll first need to distinguish what makes some kinds of listening effective and others not.